and welcome. You are listening to the U Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crosston, a general editor for the U Bible Study, and today I'm joined by Dr. Christina Zimmerman, our content editor. Hello, Christina.
Hello, Mark. Well, today we are on session 5 in our spiritual discipline study. Our title today is Connecting to Christ's Body from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 24. You know, God recognized in the Garden of Eden, it's not meant for man to be alone. Now, that does not necessarily apply to marital relationships, but it applies to all kinds of relationships. There truly is strength in numbers. So this lesson helps us to understand that our fellowship with one another helps us to be more like Christ. Okay, Mark.
So our point for today is spiritual growth calls for regular interaction with and ministry to other believers. We are one united body. One united body. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 13. Scripture says, "For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into the body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink." And so we are one unified body. And let me just say that this unified body is not just the local body of believers. This unified body is the universal body of believers. All Christians everywhere of all the ages, we are really all one body in Christ. What are you thinking about this text, Christina?
Yes, Mark, we are one body, but we are different. You're unique. The only thing that is the same for all of us is our faith in Christ. And that should be the center of our relationship. Sometimes we make our differences the center. And that's where things really get messed up. You know, I think that was me. And sometimes I deviate toward that. You know, I'm different in my own right. And one of the ways that I'm different is that I'm an introvert by nature. I gain strength from being alone. There's nothing wrong with that, but when it becomes a way that I relate to fellow believers and the church as a whole, then it can be a problem. What do you think, Mark?
Right. So none of us have our own exclusive way into the body of Christ, and so we all are in this together. Verse 13, we're all baptized by one Spirit. The only way you can become part of the body of Christ is by the Spirit of God. We all become a part of the body the exact same way. Doesn't matter, he says, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. Today we would say black or white. We would say Asian or Hispanic, North or South, Democrat or Republican. You name the division you want to call on, and this says we all still become part of the body the same way because we were all given one spiritual drink. We were all sinners on our way to hell, and we have all been saved by grace. None of us bought our way in. None of us thought our way in. None of us acted our way in. We were all saved by the grace of God. We are one unified body. That's great. That's great. So in this time when there's so many divisions and, you know, that just seems so prevalent today, this is a great lesson to remind us that we're really all one body. So we ought to act like that, and we ought to try to strive for that kind of unity in the body. So, and it's because there are responsibilities. That's what the second point tells us, that the second section says the responsibilities of the body. Let's read it, verse number 14. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I don't belong to the body, is it not for that reason any less part of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I don't belong to the body, is it not for that reason any less part of the body? And if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts of the body just as he wanted it. And so there it is, the responsibilities of the body. What are you thinking on this text, Christina?
You know, Mark, I've heard people talk about being a hand or an eye or an ear, and sometimes they put that in a negative light. But, you know, for me, it doesn't matter. You know, Paul wanted believers to understand that even though we have a different function, we're a different part of the body, we need each other. We cannot do what God has called the church to do without our brothers and sisters in Christ. We cannot. So we need to understand that even though we're different, we are one and we need each other. Yes, that's it, Mark.
Yeah, so in my own body, I would just say I want every part of it. So, you know, as long as I can keep every part of me, I want all of it. I want every finger. I want every toe. I want my ears to hear. I want my eyes to see. I want my teeth to stay in my mouth. You know, hear what I'm talking about. I want every part of me. And so because every part of me provides a particular function, right? So I need every part, and I need it to perform the function for which God has made it a part of my body. And so one, I don't want to get rid of any piece of me. And so in the body of Christ, we ought not want to get rid of any part of the body of Christ. But here's an important piece, verse number 18. But just as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body, listen to this, just as he wanted. And so what this says to me is that the reason all of us are a part of the body is because God has a specific task. He wants every part of our body, the body of Christ, to perform. And so he wants all of us. He has made us who we are and where we are, because there are some things that he wants us to be able to bring to the body and do for the body that he wouldn't be able to do without us. And so he has put each one of us in the body just as he wanted. That's powerful. What do you think, Christina?
Absolutely. You know, Mark, I got a mental image when you were talking of an ear in the middle of the forehead trying to think for somebody, or, you know, a toe on your nose trying to smell. So just saying that to say that God has indeed given us specific things that he's wanting us to do. And sometimes we have those who try to overreach into someone else's area, and that's when we get into trouble. That's kind of the image that I was seeing there in my mind, Mark.
Oh, yeah, sure. And so, when people don't have their limbs, then that means their ability to function is now in some ways more limited or more challenging, right? If people don't have their eyes, that doesn't mean they can't function, but means that their function is a little more limited and challenging. And so in the same with the body of Christ, we need every part to function in the place where God put it so that we can have a body that is able to function and do all the things that God wants us to do in this world. And so that brings us to point number three, a necessary part of the body. You are, we are, all of us are a necessary part of the body. Verse number 19. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that are weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body we consider less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor. And our unrespectable parts are treated with greater respect, which our respectable parts do not need. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable. Come on, what do you think here?
Yes, that's right. That tells me that every member of the body is necessary. There are no superior gifts, there are no less than superior gifts. So we should be supportive of everyone. This reminds me of a occasion when, as a teacher, I was teaching Bible study, and I must have said something that one of the members did not like, or something like that. Well, that person did not speak to me for many, many years. Many years. Until one day she realized the error that she had made, and she came to me and asked for forgiveness. But I had forgiven her a long time ago. But she came then, and so it's almost as if in her heart she had just kicked me out and did not respect any of the leadership that I had provided the church over those years. So all of us are necessary, and we have to recognize that in the people around us. What about that, Mark?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So on page number 90 in the study, it lists some of the divisions. Remember that the church in 1 Corinthians, the Corinthian church was a church with many problems and many divisions in the life of the church. And so and that's why Paul is writing this particular passage, because they were so divided and had so many issues. But I want to say that this text reminds me that we ought to stop focusing on negative divisions and start focusing on the beauty of diversity. So visions versus diversity is what I see as we look at this particular passage. Divisions cause that will cripple us, but diversity will enhance us. And so every part of the body is necessary. And in fact, it says, whatever you think is the less honorable part of the body, it says God has given that part even greater honor. So if you think you're the respectable, honorable part, guess what? God honors the one you think is the less responsible, less respectable, and less honorable part even more. So doesn't that blow our minds? Speak why? Because God is fascinated by our diversity because He created it. He created us each like we are. He has placed us in the body where he wanted us to be, because God is working things in his kingdom, and he needs every one of us with our own skills, talents, insights, and abilities working in harmony to be able to do the task that he has set before each one of us. So what a great and timely lesson this is. So let me just say one more thing before we close. And that is that just the idea of not being able to be the church by ourselves, huh? So we're now in a pandemic and people are separated. So does the fact that we're not able to get to the church building, Christina, does that mean we are no longer connected to the body?
Oh, no, not at all. We're, you know, today we have so many ways that we can stay connected. And distance should not separate us or divide us. We just have to use those resources that will keep us connected and bring us together. You know, there's a song that I came to mind when you were talking, Mark. No man is an island. No man stands alone. Each man's joy is joy to me. Each man's grief is my own. So even during this era of COVID-19, we need to stay connected through phone, through the internet, through social media, you know, any way that we can, because God is the one who established us as a body. And so we need to maintain what God has put together.
Right. So even though the building is closed sometimes during this pandemic, the church has never been closed. The church has never been closed ever, you know, in all this time. Why? Because we are the church. And so when Hebrews 10:25 says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but all the more as we see the day approaching, that just says to me that wherever and however our church is gathering, that I need to be in the number so I can be a part of the body. So if our church is gathering physically, that's great. I can be in that body. But if our church is gathering online, that is no less the gathering of the church. And so I'm grateful to be able to gather with the saints of God, even in this online digital age. The Bible didn't talk about this age because it hadn't been invented yet, but it speaks to it. And it lets us know that this is a great way for us to connect too. So don't stop connecting with your local church, even during these times. All right. So we're very grateful for the fact that you were able to join us on today on our You Bible Study podcast. If you're a Bible study teacher, I want you to just hold on for a moment, because we have a 60-second teaching tip that we want to share with you in just a moment. But I want each of you to go ahead right now, if you haven't already, and get your You Bible Study curriculum. You can get it at lifeway.com/YOU. And it is our urban multicultural Bible study specially designed for you. It now comes in paper and in digital formats, and it aligns with our Bible Studies for Life kids and students curriculum. So there's something for everybody. Come on, let's use this tool to connect together in our small groups. Friend, we're grateful. So Christina, come on and give us our teaching tip for today.
Okay, our teaching tip for today is use music as a teaching tool. You know, music is a great way to unify believers. While we think of singing in the choir or singing praise songs in corporate worship, we can also incorporate music easily into our Bible study settings. So just find a hymn or a contemporary song that touched the topic in your lesson. And then maybe even allow your learners to write their own lyrics for a song that highlights the main point of this Bible study content. Just take a time to use this this way of learning. Use music as a teaching tool. Okay, Mark.
All right. Thank you so very much. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for your time together in our U Bible Study podcast. And join us next week as we go even farther, friend, because you never know where God will take you.